What's up, church? First time I saw that video this morning, I felt like I wanted to talk back. Hey, Doc, what's going on? I felt like he was right here. What's up? So I'm excited to be here, amen? I am still just trying to, this is a whole new topic for me. I just want you guys to know, so I'm still trying to feel and sense what the Spirit of God is saying and doing in my own life as I deliver this message. And I pray that God will use it to touch your heart and your souls and that your lives will be shifted through it. Amen? Amen. So today I've been tasked with the assignment of talking about celebrating cultural diversity in the kingdom of God. Celebrating cultural diversity. And as I thought about that for a while, I started with trying to get some definitions so that I can get my mind in perspective. And some of the definitions are the following for cultural diversity. The existence of a variety of culture or ethnic groups within a society. Usually, cultural diversity takes into account language, religion, race, gender, age, and ethnicity. The truth of the matter is that we don't celebrate cultural diversity because we don't have anything else to do or because we like all cultures. Yeah, we should like all cultures, but let's be real 100. Let's keep it 100 with each other. We don't like all cultures sometimes. You know, I, for example, there's a lot of things about being Puerto Rican that I love and other things, you know, I still love. Just working through them. You know, there is a bit, even within Puerto Rican in itself, I always tell people that there is a Puerto Rican and there is New York Rican. Two different things. And for those of you who know the difference, know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. And there's a lot of similarities, but then there's also a lot of things that are not similar. So celebrating cultural diversity in itself is a bit of a challenge for all of us sometimes. Let me give you a couple of things. I am 100% Puerto Rican. At least that's what I was told. That means that my mama is 100% Puerto Rican, my daddy is 100% Puerto Rican, and I was born in the island of Puerto Rico, came to the mainland 13 days old, basically under 2 weeks, came out here. And then, so that's what I carry all my life. I'm 100% Puerto Rican, right? And then I did a DNA test. And that messed me all up. Let's watch this slide for a moment. Look at that right there. The good news is I'm 14% from the continent of Africa. Now, listen, last time I spoke here, I said I was 80%, 81% white. And remember, I don't know if y'all remember that. And I was like, where's my white privilege, right? I was all excited about that. And then Ancestry.com did an update in their system and they changed my whole numbers. I was mad at that for a while. But what I like about this slide is, what excites me about it is that it affirms everything that the Holy Spirit has been saying and doing in my life for the last 46 years. Exposing me to a world greater than my own human capacity, ability, and understanding. You see, as believers, we don't celebrate culture because we like everybody's food or their clothing or going to their beaches or their views or going on trips to their country. I mean, that's beautiful and that's great. No, but if we limit diversity to that, we are limiting the purpose of the cross and God's divine assignment over our life. Don't get me wrong, I love going to other countries and having a vacation. I love going to other countries and experiencing beaches. But the truth of the matter is, I don't celebrate cultural diversity because of that. I celebrate cultural diversity because God is doing something greater in my life and in my purpose. That anytime I deal with culture, I need to be remembering and thinking about what is my kingdom influence. There is something greater than the clothes I wear. There is something greater than the music I listen to. There is something greater than the food that I eat. There is power inside of me. There is experiences inside of me. And there is influence that God has called me to be part of and to engage in. Whenever, since the beginning of times, you understand that salvation was for all people. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of some people. He said, no, that's not what he said. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You see, it is impossible to make true biblical disciples of anyone unless you intertwine your life with theirs. I need to go beyond just talking about this gospel and teaching you a 6-week curriculum and fill in the blank. And that's cool and that's great and that's good information. But true transformational biblical discipleship engages you. Jesus was a God that was on a mission. Jesus was one that came down from heaven and he came down to earth. The word of God says that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Whenever you look at the fact that he left heaven, that he made his dwelling among us, that meant he left his culture, he left his experience, he left his world, everything that he know, and he came down here so that he can dwell and intertwine and engage with you. Talking about this discipleship is a lot further and a lot meaningful than just talking about the things that we kind of experience in life. Paul says that we are walking epistles. In other words, we are the only word that some people are going to ever see. James puts it this way. He says, don't be just listeners of the words, or otherwise you are deceiving yourself, but do what it says. Go and make disciples of all nations, not just the people you like, not just the people that make you feel comfortable. Not just the people that you can relate to. I always mention the fact that when I was locked up in prison in Puerto Rico, this lady who had she didn't know any Ebonics, she didn't dress urban, she really did not know how to talk with slang of any type. She had a bun in her hair, no makeup, her skirt was way down to her heel, but she preached the gospel and she got to my heart. And 28 years later, here I am telling you that Christ is the only one that changes somebody's life. She didn't choose. The truth of the matter is, it made her comfortable. She was in a prison cell with 46 different inmates, and she was one woman, elderly woman, all alone. She was not looking for comfort. She was looking for mission. See, Jesus came. He left everything he knew. He left home. He left his comfort. He left his culture. And he made his dwelling among us. Paul puts it in Romans. He says, but God demonstrated his love for us, that when we were his enemies, he still died for us. The first, if we want to be effective in cultural diversity, the first thing that we need to do is intertwine our lives with one another. Let's stop playing it safe. Let's stop doing the things that make us feel comfortable. If you play it safe, you don't grow. In the wedding of Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine, we see a beautiful story. See, a lot of people just focus on the miracle that Jesus turned water into wine, and some of us are like, hallelujah for that. But some of us don't realize the implications of what that meant. If you understood the traditions of the time, you would understand that usually weddings were 4 days and above. And running out of wine implied a cultural impact that was detrimental to the family's reputation. So when Jesus turned water into wine, where he was not just taking care of an immediate need, but he was also taking care of a cultural need. Because he says, because I love this family, I'm going to have to do a shift, a cultural shift, and I'm going to have to provide because I do not want this family to be outcast culturally because they ran out of wine. Yes, Jesus turned water into wine, but Jesus was more concerned about this family's cultural situation and cultural reputation than he was about turning water into wine. See, when Jesus deals with you and with me, he is concerned about all aspects of our lives. Intertwine. Ecclesiastes says that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You're stronger when you're together. Whenever you're together, you become a powerhouse. Deuteronomy says that one man will chase a thousand, but two together will put thousands to flight. The truth of the matter is that the enemy becomes weak when we are united. Sometimes we do not know how to fight the enemy. Well, all you got to do is join forces with one another. And you will see what the word says, that two are better than one. That you are stronger when you are together. Stop playing it safe. If you play it safe, you don't grow. One of my personal core values is risk. That's a scary core value. But I've noticed that my whole life has been risky. So why not risk it for the Lord? I've always been risky. Many of you already know that my mom drank gasoline when I was in her womb to try to abort me. So when I talk to you about risks, risk has been happening since the beginning of, before I was in my mother's womb. But God. So risk was the one that got me here to Baltimore. Well, I say I'm here in Columbia now, but risk is what got me to Maryland. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know where I was going to live. When I tell you literally, we go walk by faith and not by sight. I really didn't know where I was going to live. I stayed at a hotel, and I remember praying at 3 a.m, looking at Craigslist and all these different places, trying to find a place to live. Wondering, where am I going to live, Lord? But I just was going on the fact what God told me. He says, go and make it count. That's all I got. That was the word, go and make it count. All right, Lord. That's why a lot of people wonder where my grind comes, why I always am the way I am. It's because I'm going based on the word where God says, make it count. I don't have time to waste. I don't have time to play with the enemy. I don't even have time to play church. I need to make it count. Seven years later, I ended up here in Baltimore, in Bridgeway. 7 years, the number of completion, I ended up here. I didn't even know it was 7 years till I was preparing this message, by the way. I started doing the math, you know, because I had to pull my fingers. And I came up with that. I was like, oh, so that will preach too. At the year of completion, God brought me to God's house. Say yeah. Yeah. Y'all crazy. And let me tell you, my life has been transformed since I've been here at Bridgeway. It's really weird because the way I found Bridgeway, I was looking for multicultural churches from the get-go. So I already had a heart and a vision for this anyways, right? But I didn't realize what I was stepping into until I got here. And I realized this is the real deal. Multicultural ministry is really like in your face kind of stuff. We're going to iron it out. We're going to talk about stuff that makes us feel uncomfortable. See, you guys just see what you see in the pulpit, right? And it's all beautiful. And I'll praise the Lord. Hercules. But you haven't heard the talks when we're really trying to iron this thing out. And trying to work it out as a staff and as pastors and trying to figure this whole thing out, how to really effectively do this thing. Intertwining with each other. Engaging with each other. Doing life with each other. Several years ago, a long time ago, They said hip-hop was dead. I'm going somewhere with this. They're like, how does that have to do? And so there was KRS-One, Dougie Fresh, and Special Ed went on the Hip-Hop's Not Dead tour. And so during that tour, I was living in Florida, and I was teaching actually that same day that they were again going to where we were going to. I was teaching on cultural diversity in the workplace. We had 700 staff and people from all over the world because it was an organization that dealt with refugees. And so it kind of makes sense. I was teaching on that. And it was all beautiful. And some older white guy came up to me. And he goes, you know, they didn't call me Pastor Eli. Then it was just Eli because I was an employee like everybody else. Say, Eli, I'm really serious about this cultural diversity thing. And I was like, you serious? Yeah, I thought he was playing. I was like, yeah, I'm serious. I said, all right, well, why don't we go to the hip-hop concert tonight? And then just to push the buttons a little bit more, I say, why don't you pay for the tickets? Because we don't talk about it, we be about it. And then I wanted to push a little bit more. I was dating a young lady at the time, and I said, why don't you pay for her ticket as well? Freedate.com. Yes, Lord. I thought he was going to say no, but he said yes. And he took me on my challenge. What was really crazy was that almost everybody was black except him, myself, and this young lady. Now, I ain't worried about me because I'm Latino. So I was all good in my comfort zone. What? When Special Ed came up and he was like, dun, 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 we're on a mission. Bam, bam, bam. I was like, ah! When KRS-One came up and he said, whoop, whoop, that's the sound of the police. I was like, ah! He was like, 6 minutes, 6 minutes, 6 minutes. Oh, you were there too, huh? But two things came out of that whole hip-hop concert that I'm bringing it. Why? I just didn't bring you a free concert right now, by the way. Some of you are like, oh, if hip-hop is not dead, Pastor Eli's he resurrected it. But the reason I'm talking about it was because two major things happened that day. Number one, I just mentioned to you that we had 700 employees. Okay? This random older white gentleman became my friend out of that concert. Till this day, this was years ago, till this day, we still talk to each other, text each other, write to each other, social media each other. I don't talk to nobody else of the 699 folk, but I talk to that one crazy white man who bought my ticket. Number two, that young lady that was there today is my wife. Hallelujah. But what's funny about it, she doesn't like hip-hop, first of all. She doesn't even know she was in a hip-hop concert. She didn't understand anything that was going on, but what she knew was, I found me a man. He said, and God said it was good. We're laughing about it now, but I still talk to her. I said, baby, where do you think she was at? She was like, I don't know. But she was there, intertwining her life because she had a mission. She probably will argue with me today and say, no, it was you the one that started. Because no women ever want to admit that they were looking at somebody. They're like, it was him the one that fell for me, not me at first. Mm-hmm. What is it about y'all that y'all don't want to admit that? But she was in there intertwining her life. You follow me? See, true, if we're going to celebrate cultural diversity, we need to intertwine our lives with each other. We need to stop playing it safe. You know, we pick and choose what we like. We pick and choose what makes us comfortable. We just kind of, you know, the only time we get diversified is when we go on a cruise or something else. That's the time where you kind of dive in a little bit deeper. But God is calling us to go deeper now. We need to intertwine our lives with each other. The second way in which we can celebrate cultural diversity is by intentional self-denial. Intentional self-denial. Let me tell you how Paul puts it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 reads the following. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. That in itself, I could stop right there, right? To win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, although I myself, I am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law. So to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. And then I love that last verse 22. It says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I may win some. See, when you understand the mission behind cultural diversity, when Dr. Anderson started this church, and the only reason I know is because I read the book. He even says it in his book, it's great that we're eating and celebrating and learning each other's culture. He says, but if we keep it to that, we're limiting it. He said, it needs to go even deeper than that. We need to look at the mission of Christ behind cultural diversity. See, we need to understand that God has called you to kingdom impact. The simple fact you have a church that's unique all around the world. The simple fact that you can sit with other people of different races, of different culture. I want you to know that it is a blessing. And it is powerful. And it is meaningful. But God is not doing that because he wants to entertain you. Or because he wants to diversify your ideas and your culture. That's beautiful. But God is doing this because he's trying to teach you the kingdom influence and the power that you have to be an example of Christ all around the world. God has called you for something even greater. Paul says, I have become all things to all people so that I can win them over for the sake of the cross. We all have likes and dislikes. That's that we all have cultural preferences, but we cannot get stuck in our likes and dislikes and in our cultural preferences. We have to step out of our comfort zone and realize what Paul is saying, that we have to live in self-denial. I cannot just hang around people I'm comfortable with. There is a saying that says that if you're the smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. You need to engage and interact and dwell and be amongst and learn and share and not just look at people from different cultures, either look down on them or look at them as I'm just hanging with you for a little while. No, you got to realize that God is expanding your territory, that God is shifting your vision, that God is shifting your soul, that God is opening a place for in heaven for you, and you don't even realize what God is doing, but until you embrace the fullness of the gospel of Christ, go and make disciples of all nations. The problem is that some of us are so stuck in our traditions that we can't do the transition. So stuck in this way, I really can't move. I really can't do. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You can't kill what's already dead. When you come and you engage with people and you interact with people and you love people and you embrace people, it doesn't matter the race, it doesn't matter the gender, it doesn't matter their culture, it doesn't matter their age. When you enter into those dimensions, you begin to grow. If you stay stuck, you don't grow. I love salsa. And I could do my thing too. But I love hip hop. And now my wife is exposing me to music that I've never even heard of, Guachinel. I don't even know what that is. But it's good. And I feel. I'm learning how to dance things that. I'm just playing. If you want to celebrate others, you need to think less of yourself and focus your life, your energy, your attention into serving and caring for people of other cultures and worldview. I celebrate you when I do for you. I celebrate you when I honor you. I celebrate you when I go out of my way to help you. I celebrate you when I think less of myself and more of you. I celebrate you because I understand my kingdom assignment and I understand God's desire and purpose for me. The word says that I live in this world, but I'm not from this world. The word says that our citizenship is in heaven. That means that my constitution is the word of God. This is what protects me. This is what guides me. This is what inspires me. I love Christ more than the USA. And so you begin to engage and learn. And I said it earlier today, I love all these, not many bishops and many apostles and many of these prophets. I love Dr. Anderson. That's my boy. I love him with all my heart. And he's in challenging me and I'm growing so much. But I'm not trying to be like any of them. I'm trying to be like Christ. And as I go in this journey of trying to be like Christ, I learned that I need to love people. And I need to love people that I don't like sometimes. And I'm not talking about that emotional love that we love so many people. Let me stop right there. That's my note for you. Anything more than that, the anointing will leave. I'm not talking about that phony love. I love you, then I beat you up. I love you, and then I backstab you. I'm talking about true biblical love. Forgiveness, gentleness, hold no record of wrong kind of love, supports things, goes through trials and tribulation kind of love. Problem is, this world has given us this phony view and phony ideology and phony definition of what love is. For Christ teaches us, 1 John 3:16, one of my favorite verses, John 3:16, everybody knows, for God so loved the world that he gave. But 1 John 3:16 says the following, and this is how you know love, that Christ died for us and we need to die for our brothers. That right there, self-denial. That's what we're talking about in the word. A third way in which I can celebrate cultural diversity is when I purposely change my cultural worldview. Purposefully change my cultural worldview. Sometimes we're stuck. And I have to be intentional. Romans 12:2, which we all know very well. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will is. Right? I love it. It's a beautiful verse. We all like it. But when you read it in the message, it's even more challenging. When you read it in the version, the message. This is what it says. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking it. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. So when I deal with culture, I'm not necessarily getting adjusted and accustomed to things that makes me feel comfortable. He said, fix your attention on God. And when you fix your attention on God, and you fix your attention on his mission, and you fix your attention on his assignment, it says that you will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. And then it says this, unlike the cultures around you always dragging you down to his level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. And he develops well-formed maturity inside of you. See, when I deal with cultures and when I deal with this, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love everybody. I'm engaging with everybody. But I can't limit it just to what I see, skin and music and all these different things. I can't limit it to that. I got to understand there's a greater purpose. The greater the pain, the greater the glory. Right? There's a saying in the gym world that it says, no pain, no gain. Right? And so I need to understand that if I'm going to gain this, it needs to stretch me. It needs to make me feel uncomfortable. It's okay for it to be uncomfortable because you're human. And it'll be a lie if I tell you, oh, if you feel uncomfortable, then that's not of God. That's baloney. That's baloney. But I'm not talking about feeling uncomfortable. I'm talking about not getting stuck in the discomfort. Right? You say, well, you know what? I may feel uncomfortable, but I'm still diving into this. And I'm still opening my heart. And I'm still opening my soul. And I'm still going to try something different. And I'm going to still ask God to reveal himself to me. And I'm still going to ask God to show me things that I don't understand. And I'm still going to ask God to forgive me and help me deal with my own prejudices and my own ideologies and my own mental limitations. And I don't know how I'm going to overcome this, but I'm committed to the mission and the assignment that God has put in my life. And therefore, every time I feel uncomfortable, I may not tell everybody else, but when I go to that prayer class, I want to say, God, what is this? God, pluck it out of me. Why is this thing still bothering me? 3 times I've prayed, Paul said, Lord, take this away from me. And God says, my grace is sufficient. So that means it was a continual struggle that he had in his life. And nobody's judging you for that. What I'm saying is just don't get stuck there. Because when you get stuck there, you're limiting the power and the presence of God. God wants to take you into new levels. But remember that new levels, new devils. When we understand the ultimate purpose of the cross, then that shifts our vision. And our vision should determine our lifestyle. You know, you want to be an athlete? You say you want to run a marathon? You don't run a marathon by sleeping all day and eating whatever you want. You may wake up every morning and you start your vision. I want to run a marathon. So your vision determines your lifestyle, right? Whatever it is, you can fill in the blanks of whatever that is. Your vision determines your lifestyle. I used to box. I had to learn how to be hit a bag for 30, 45 minutes straight. Just hitting it, boom, 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 boom. And I had to learn that. Why? Because my vision determined my lifestyle. I had to learn how to build endurance. This is something that you put into practice. This is something you do. You don't talk about celebrating cultural diversity. Just talk about it. You have to be about it. You got to dive into it. You got to learn from each other. You got to embrace each other. This is something we all have to do. I always talk about this message made me think of a lot of stuff that I didn't even know that I had experienced in my life until I started preparing for this message. The very first church plant that I helped start was in the mushroom fields of Rarsburg, Pennsylvania. You don't even know how to spell Rarsburg. I know because I still struggle with it. I got to look it all up in the internet, try to figure it all out. I was working with Amish people, and I was working in the mushroom fields with Mexicans in the mushroom fields building a church that we called the Holy Spirit in Action. That was the name of our church. That's a dope name, right? Building this church, and when I was working with the Amish community, we were baling hay. As an inner city New York kid, nobody told me that when you bale hay, you better wear long sleeve shirts because you get hay rash. I didn't know that. So I'm showing my muscles to the poor Amish young ladies. Bailing hay. The next day I looked, man, I was just like, oh. Cultural diversity, exposing myself, God exposing me to things that I would have never imagined. But for the rest of my life, I could always remember those experiences. And those experiences helped evolve me and shape me and learn. I talk Spanish today, but there's a big difference between street Spanish and school Spanish. I used to talk street Spanish like a boss. And then I pastored a first generation Puerto Rican church, like Puerto Rican, not New York Rican, like Puerto Rican. And I had some old school church mamas. And I used to swear from the pulpit, not because I meant to swear. I thought that was like real vocabulary. I didn't know, straight talk. I didn't know. Like, and those graceful, beautiful, first generation church mamas would correct me every Sunday after I would get out the pulpit. Come here, son. They were so gracious, man. Pray, bless their hearts. Oh, just grace. Come here, son. You don't say these words. But guess what? In that experience, I learned how to write Spanish. I learned how to read Spanish. I learned how to preach Spanish. As a matter of fact, I think there's a special anointing when I preach in Spanish that doesn't come out when it comes in English. There is something about going back to my roots and saying, La gloria de Jehová cayó en el Sinaí, aquel monte temblaba porque Dios estaba ahí. Woo, say santo. All right, let me start wrapping this thing up. So why? Why this whole cultural diversity thing? Why I chose these verses intentionally. It wasn't just because I was looking for random verses in the Bible to talk about cultural diversity. I chose these verses intentionally. The first one I chose was the Great Commission because we see there's an assignment there, right? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Then I chose this other one where Paul starts talking about just to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the slave, he goes down this way, right? And then he said, why? For the sake of saving them, right? So in other words, I see a pattern. Nations, sacrifice, salvation. I see a pattern here. It's called cross-reference, when you cross-reference scripture. Then I went into Revelations, and now I understood why. This is how I want to conclude. Go, turn with me to Revelations chapter 7. And when you have it, say, I got it. I want to help you because I like you. Revelations chapter 7 is right after chapter 6. And in Spanish, you know what's really weird? In Spanish, it's not Revelation, it's Apocalipsis. You got it? Revelation, Apocalipsis chapter 7. Say amen. After this, verse 9. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, all of them standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding in their hands palm branches, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and all four living creatures. And they all fell down to their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You see diversity there? All different languages. But all under one spirit. Ooh, doesn't that sound similar to us? Multiple church, multiple campuses, but one spirit. All languages, but unified. And what were they all doing? They were worshiping and honoring God. Now, I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, besides the fact that I want to wipe my head, could be like, woo. That was a close one. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on, let's keep it real. Let's keep it 100. Like, whoo, Lord, I barely made it. But thank you, Jesus, that I did. Amen. After I do that, the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to bow down. And say, all honor, all glory. All power, all salvation, all truth, everything belongs to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And today I celebrate you, Jesus, because you reign. Come on, somebody, give God praise in this house. Every nation, every tribe, every people, all languages, worshiping the true and living God. If you believe it, say yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. You may be seated. This is why we do cultural diversity. This is the true meaning of cultural diversity. I don't do it because it just makes me feel good. I do it because I understand my mission and my assignment, and I say, yes, Lord. Say there, say yes, Lord. Before I pray, I want to pass this out to our Owings Mills campus and Pastor Harnett that's over there. He'll share some time of word and prayer with you. But I want to take a few minutes and pray with you. Could we do that? I want to pray for you and your life and your heart. I could have talked about, you know, celebrating. Let's eat together and celebrate. Let's dance together and celebrate. I could have done that. I was thinking about that, to be honest with you. But the more I prayed, the more that God put in my heart about a heart transformation. Because if we go through the motions, but God doesn't change our heart, then it's just motions. I remember I read this book that talks about, you know, just things you do for your wives. You know, bring them flowers, bring them candy, figure out what they like. And I was doing all that stuff, you know, everything that the books tell me to do, because I wanted to be a good husband. And then one time my wife stopped me. She said, don't bring me no flowers. Bring me candy. That's the first thing she said. Flowers don't do jack for me. Bring me some sweet cheesecake, baby. Right? But then she told me this. She said, but don't do it because the book is telling you. She says, because if you're doing it because the book is telling you, it doesn't do nothing for me. Do it because that's what you want to do from your heart. That changed my game. That changed my life forever. Let's pray. God, today we just pray for everybody who's in this place right now. God bless our hearts, change us, transform us, Lord. Look at us, dear Lord. Whatever's going on in our life that needs to be plucked out, dear God, please, Lord God, pluck it out, because we want to honor you. We want to serve you. We want to live for you. We want to bless you. We want to hear, well done, my faithful servant. And so, Lord, whatever's going on in our minds and our hearts that limits us from embracing and loving each other, pluck it out, dear God. Heal us and help us intertwine with each other and become the true brothers and sisters in Christ that you've called us to be. Thank you, God, for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you're about to do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.